Good morning. Hope you like that illustrated version of the passage. We're almost the end of this series. I'm kind of glad for that. It's been a struggle, actually. able to respond in a godly way, but this takes making decisions constantly. And each one of us, every single one of us, needs to make a decision today. And we need to make decisions in the days and weeks to follow. That we will go God's way, really counting the cost and following Jesus, or going our own way. And we might think we're just a little bit off of track, but it reminded me of years ago when I was into raising cars and other craziness, borrowed my friend's little hoist, and we brought it in the back of their truck, lifted it off into our garage, and pulled the engine out of one of my cars. And then we went to move that hoist. It had wheels on it, but while the engine was on there, and they're hard, solid little wheels, not pneumatic with air in them, and we went to move it, and we got it going, and then it stopped. Completely. And it skidded to a stop, and this engine swinging on the chains, and it didn't tip over, thankfully, but it could have hurt somebody. But what stopped it? This tiny wee pebble on the floor. It doesn't take much to stop a solid tire. Sometimes it doesn't take that much to be off of track. And as we think of the cost of following Jesus, there is God's way, and we're following Him. But I think a lot of us seem to have this idea. We just slip into it. We want to walk both paths at the same time, not realizing there's a picket fence in between the two, and there's a real cost to trying to do that. Many of us, in different ways and differently, but let things seep in, like even a small rock on the floor that seems so small, but actually in life it has a huge impact. It's not on the same path. It's derailing us. It's hindering us from walking and following God. As we've been through this series, responsible. We are responsible as we've been through different weeks. When we recognize God's sovereignty, He is sovereign. We don't really like that deep down. We want to be in control, but sometimes we're really grateful He is God. But we kind of have this love-hate relationship with that. We are able to respond in a godly way when we are actively resting in Him. Currently, not just I used to or I have, I am right now resting, abiding in Him. We're able to respond in a godly way when we rejoice in God and rejoice in good. Scripture's full of that. Give thanks. Always things to be thankful for and rejoice in. When we're actively repenting and turning towards God, yes, we keep going this way. We keep turning back. Keep turning back. When we return to our first love, He loves us so much, more than we can comprehend. We need to be growing in that love and responding with a love for Him and love for people. We'll get more into that today. When we're realigning our lives, we've been through all each of these, and each of these could be a series on their own. When we're restoring and rebuilding relationships actively, not just wishing they would go better, and I hate how much work that takes. I love confrontation. I see it as an incredible opportunity in relationships. When it's not me in the confrontation. When it's me, it's so hard to just be, understand each other, really here to understand. But it is still an opportunity. When we're renewing our commitments, talking about unity last week is where we were. What we have in common. We're unified. We're a body of Christ. And today, as we re-engage as God leads, this takes individual decisions. This will take us deciding corporately what direction, who are we really going to follow. together we're a body, a people, a royal priesthood. Scripture's full of that kind of language. We read it and interpret it individually in North America. But the scriptures are written to the people of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We need to think more corporately about that. So I'm calling this one as we relaunch. We've been through reflecting, celebrating, returning, sharing, evaluating, reconciling, hopefully relationships, uniting, and now relaunching. What now? We've been at the intersection, so to speak. What direction are we really going to go? And there's some deciding to do. I want to look at Luke 9, 57 to 62, mostly, somewhat, today. But also this comes back to Matthew 22 and Matthew 28. Just consider these for a couple minutes from the bottom up. So first, Matthew 28. I mean, this is what we're called to do. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, or as you are going, wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, I'm not going to preach this passage. Hopefully you've heard it before, but I just want to remind us, here's what we're called to be actively doing. Our congregation doesn't exist to have the perfect response to COVID. It doesn't exist to just be here together or put on Sunday morning services. All of this leads to us making disciples, or it ought to. And then Matthew 22, 34, that was dealt with in the pre-video. "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it, intricately connected. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" The great commandment, the great commission we've just been through, this is at our core. We've summarized it differently, but it's a summary. All what Jesus has called us, how to live this out. Back to Luke 9, 57 to 62. "As they were going on the road, someone just said to him," that is Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." That person said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." I'm not going to completely expound on any of those passages, but rather keep them in mind. And this final one, there's a cost to following Jesus. It means we can't go our own way and set our own priorities and still try and follow God. We can't walk on both paths. It doesn't work. He is Lord of all or not Lord at all. There's a cost to making disciples. There's a cost to loving our neighbors. There's a cost to following Jesus. And we need to decide to do that. Well, there's some pebbles, though. We need to address some pebbles, things that hinder us, that urge bring that journey to a screeching halt. We need to face first what we hate. So if we're called to love, then what's in opposition to love? If we're going to re-engage as God leads and actively love We need to face what we hate. Now, we might hate some people groups even, right? Prejudice is not of God. We all bleed red. We're human. And treating someone as less deserving, whether it's an individual or a group of people, is absolutely ungodly and not what the church is called to do. This might apply to some of us. Even a small amount of prejudice can greatly hinder our engaging in the world like God has called us to. But there's other ways that hate opposes love. We hate not being able to solve life. Jason brought it up in his opening. We hate not being in control at times, not being able to solve things. We hate feeling inadequate, so we don't want to put ourselves in places where we might feel inadequate, right? There's other things, as small as they might be, that are preventing us from actively loving our neighbor, loving God. We don't like uncertainty in a situation, so let's not go there. Let's just try and contain our lives and live safe and removed. Jesus says, go. Go and make disciples. Love your neighbor. Actively engage. In confronting his own prejudices, Martin Luther said, I have decided to stick to love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. We need to confront actively what we hate. The Samaritan man in the story of that video just before I came up here, he was hated. He was the object of hate. And yet it was him who overcame that and engaged and showed compassion when he saw the man on the road and took care of him. He showed compassion actively. He didn't give in to that hate. He didn't promote that hate. He wasn't ruled by that hate. When hate becomes our taskmaster, it stops us from living for God. Now, some people would say the opposite of love is not hate. It is fear. I would say there's some of both there. Hate opposes love, so does fear. If we're going to re-engage as God leads, we need to face our fears. Love and fear are very different, and they result in very different things. If you're here for the pre-service videos, one of them, fear is a liar, was a song. There's lots of lies we believe. We take some of them in. In fact, we believe some of them so much that we act differently. We act on those loves. We start to surrender to our fears, and they become our Lord rather than Jesus as our Lord. Fear versus love. Fear destroys. Love builds. And you can read some of these up there. Fear screams. Love speaks or whispers. Fear attacks. Love protects. They're very, very different, and they result in very different things. Our society, we need people not surrendered. doesn't cover it, I'll pay more later. It's that love and fear are powerful motivations. You need to face that. It's really motivating. It's really motivating. And it takes the time to get success. It's what pushes against love is hate, is fear. Some would also say the opposite of love is not hatred, it's indifference. Put another way, hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is. We don't mean the hate or the love. Probably the biggest North American church. Yes, we give in to some of our hates, and they show forth. Hopefully we're after the calling comes out in our lives and each other's lives. We give in to our fears. Hopefully we're repenting of those regularly. I think it's even harder to recognize that if you're simply apathetic or indifferent. It's not affecting me too bad. I don't care enough to respond differently. Says, I follow this. With love their neighbors. As this one person. Push out there and get messy. Which of these do you think prove to be a neighbor to the man? Jesus asked the Lord. The one who showed the mercy to me, who lived it out. You go and do likewise. This is what followers of Jesus actively do. I said at the beginning of the series is almost over. We'll have 2 weeks of really processing together a little bit. How do we engage and move forward from here? When I'm convicted like this, there's a cost to caring, a cost to loving. We hate this cost. We fear engaging for all sorts of reasons. We think it's better to just not care too much. Shrink our circle. I'm only going to care about these people. And yes, we can't be everything to all people. God doesn't call us to burn ourselves out. We're not on empty. That's why we need to remember the beginning of this whole series. It starts with recognizing who is sovereign. Not in control. We don't have to have all the answers. We can just play our part. For the whole body serving people, we can just do that. Remember, rest and abide in Him, not giving to our fears. We rejoice in God and good. We repent regularly and turn to Him. We return to Him. Love. Soak that in. Any one of these can be expanded into a some degree, it might just be a pebble on the floor, or to a large degree, whatever, I'm going to actually kind of live my own life and control everything. That's exhausting. I will follow, but. Decide today who you will follow. Jesus said, follow me with no excuses. Where is it broke down? Where are you on your journey with God? Loving people for us, making disciples of us, following Jesus and glorifying God, not living for ourselves. Heard it before. Don't just go, oh, okay, I heard this one. Dismiss it. Listen again. When a dangerous sea ghost or shipwrecks often occur, there was once a little life-saving station. The building was primitive and there was just one boat. But the members of the life-saving station were committed and kept a constant watch over the sea. When a ship went down, they unselfishly went out day or night to save the lost. Because so many lives were saved by that station, it became famous. Consequently, many people wanted to be associated with that station. They gave their time, talent, money, and supported it for the world. New boats were built, new crews were recruited, a formal training session was offered. As the membership of the life-saving station grew, some of the members became unhappy that the building was so primitive. The equipment was so outdated. They wanted a better place to welcome the survivors, both from the sea. A better place to welcome the survivors. So they replaced the emergency cots, the beds, and put better furniture in a large, new, decorated building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members. They met regularly, and when they did, it was apparent how they loved one another. They greeted each other, hugged each other, shared with one another the events that would be going on in their lives. But fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions. So they hired lifeboat crews to do this for them. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought into the life-saving station boatloads of coal